Hey, you guys, welcome back to the Flickers of Fear show. So, as it's getting closer and closer to Christmas, I decided, as I said, the whole month of December, we're doing kind of like winter themed horror movies. But I decided on this show that I would actually, since we're getting closer to Christmas, that I would do something that's actually kind of more, I don't want to say it's a straightforward Christmas movie. It is actually set on Christmas, and there is like a Christmassy vibe to it in the sense of, it taking place on Christmas and that being kind of a component of the story. But it's a Christmas movie that a lot of people don't talk about as being a Christmas movie, I guess, because it's primarily, I mean, the way that it was, I guess, marketed or the way that it's, cover looks and everything like that, it's kind of more of a satanic type, omen type thing, except funny. This is The Day of the Beast from 1995, also known as La Dia de la Bestia, if, I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong. So, this movie, I had been hearing so much about this one. I feel like this is one, it's a Spanish film. And this is one that kind of maybe goes under a lot of people's radar, even though the guy who made it, Alex de la Iglesia, is a very, very well-known filmmaker in Spain. And honestly, this movie here, it was actually a very important movie in Spanish horror cinema and actually ended up winning like six Goya Awards in 1996 and sort of reinvigorated Spain's horror, output, because prior to this there hadn't really been much of anything, since back in the days of like, the 70s and stuff. So easily one of the most important Spanish films of the 1990s, and I do kind of feel like it's not, even among horror fans, I don't know. I kind of feel like it does have a cult following, but maybe not as big as it deserves. The nice thing now, though, because I kind of feel like this movie was really hard to get hold of for a very long time, but now it seems like it's very, very easy to see. I watched on Shudder. Shudder has it. Tubi has it for free. I believe you can watch it for free if you have Amazon Prime. Vudu has it for free. So you can kind of see this everywhere, and I think that's really good because I think a lot of people will really, really dig this movie. And I think it's one, it's a black comedy, like it's a horror movie, having to do with Satanism and stuff, but it's also a black comedy and like a almost like a satire. So how you feel about that? It kind of reminded me, and I guess I'm not the only person that thought this, but it kind of reminded me a little bit of like maybe an early Peter Jackson movie. Not as over the top, like grotesque as that, but the sense of humor is kind of similar, if you know where I'm coming from. So this was actually Alex de la Iglesia's second feature film, his first being the sort of underground cult classic Acción Mutante, which I never saw it, but I remember it coming out because I remember there being like a certain subset of really, really cool like film people that had the t-shirt, you know what I mean? So I remember that, like, or stickers and stuff. So, but I never did see the movie. But this was his second film. And honestly, like he went on much later. I think most recently he did like a HBO Max series called 30 Coins, which again I haven't seen. But so he's kind of like a big deal, you know what I mean? And he was also a producer. I hadn't seen like most of his other movies, but he was a producer on this movie called Elementary, which I saw not too long ago. That was a decent flick. And so definitely, but after seeing this, so this has been on my list for like a really long time because everybody, and honestly, on Shudder, it has five skulls. Everybody's just like, oh my God, this is awesome. How did I not see this movie before? And I would have to agree, this movie is a ton of fun. As I said, it's a black comedy first, but it is quite violent and it is very irreverent, specifically if you're, I mean, obviously it didn't bother me any, but Spain being kind of like a more leaning toward like being a Catholic country, so it's probably was a lot more irreverent to them like back then, but I think the humor still translates. But like I said, if you're super religious, you'll probably be offended, but I don't imagine that super religious people would be watching this, so it's just that kind of old situation. So basically, what you have here, the setup of this, is there's a Basque priest, Father Angel or Angel, I guess you would call it, or they actually just call him a cura for short, and he is, a priest and a theology professor, and kind of his life's work apparently has been deciphering this code or something in St. John's, the Book of Revelation. So he's been working on that for a really long time. At the very beginning of the movie, he runs into this church and says to a fellow priest, "Hey, I figured out this code that I've been trying to figure out for all this time. And I figured out that it's actually a date, and it's when the Antichrist is going to be born." Now, it so happens that the Antichrist is going to be born somewhere in Madrid on Christmas, like dawn of Christmas Day, 1995. So what the priest decides to do is that his kind of, I guess it's kind of like a harebrained scheme. This is a bonkers ass movie, but it's like, it's super, super enjoyable. I had a fucking blast with this one, and I just like laughed out loud so many times. It's just, it's almost, like I said, it's almost Peter Jackson-y, Sam Raimi kind of. It's not as wacky as that, but it is, it does like have an element of slapstick and an element of like black humor to it. So if you like those filmmakers, then you'd probably really dig this. So I guarantee like you should probably check it out. Also, I think one of the best things about it too is like the characters, like the interaction between the characters, really, really well done. The acting in this is so great. Actually, the guy that plays the priest was in, I think he was in some Guillermo del Toro movies, now that I'm thinking about it. I think he was the doctor in Pan's Labyrinth, and he was in some other stuff too. But some of these, if you know anything about kind of international cinema or anything, like a lot of these actors will be familiar to you, you know, and I'll talk about that in a little bit too, like one of the other characters. So yeah, so he's figured out that Antichrist is going to be born. So he is basically like, what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to figure out, because he knows the date of the Antichrist being born, but he doesn't know exactly where. He knows it's going to be somewhere in Madrid, but, you know, obviously Madrid is a big city. So he decides that, well, I'm going to have to get in good with Satan so I can figure out where the Antichrist is going to be born so I can kill the Antichrist, the baby, and then thus prevent the end of the world. So as soon as he tells the fellow priest that he's going to do this, and the fellow priest is like, oh my God, we totally have to do it, this giant cross like falls and like squishes the other priest. So he's just kind of like, okay. So the first part of the movie, this is almost kind of like, it's sort of like in three parts, but I don't know if I necessarily want to say that, like, yeah, because it's not super overt. But the first part is he decides, I'm going to have to go and start doing some sinning so I can get Satan's attention. Because his reasoning is, because I'm a priest, I can't just like ask the devil where the Antichrist is going to be born. He's not going to tell me, right? Because I'm a priest, I'm his enemy. So he decides what he's going to have to do is he's essentially just going to have to sacrifice himself, sacrifice his faith, sell his soul to the devil so that the devil will buy that he is on his side now, and then he can somehow get the information of where the Antichrist is going to be born. He can like turn on him. So that's what he's going to do. So the first part of the movie is actually just him trying to be as evil as possible. And it's just, it cracks me up. So the first part of this like cracked me up so much, like seeing this little bitty priest, you know, in his long frock or whatever and his little hat, and he's just going through the streets of Madrid, which are portrayed as like these ridiculously violent, because there's actually something, there's a through line that goes through the whole story and ends up kind of you know, coming full circle at the end of the movie, is that there's all of this there's all these kind of this gang that's been going through Madrid, and they will essentially they find like a homeless person or something, and they like beat them to death or set them on fire alive, and then put like clean up Madrid, they spray paint it over their body. So that's kind of been going on a lot, and that's kind of been going on in the background, and like I said, it ties into how the story ends. So he's walking through these rough, violent streets of Madrid, and he's at first just doing, you know, shitty, assholey things, but nothing like super evil. Like he'll go, like there'll be like a homeless guy like sitting there with a, you know, with a cup full of money, and he'll just like take all the money and like put it in his pockets. There's one guy who's like dying in a car accident, and the cops asked him, you know, he's just laying there all fucked up on the hood, and like the cops say, you know, can you come give him the last rites? And he comes over there, steals the dude's wallet, and then like whispers in his ear, I hope you rot in hell, like instead of giving him the last rites. So he's doing stuff like that. Actually, my favorite thing was when there's like a mime who's kind of up on this, you know, sort of stair platform thing, like, you know, doing the mime thing. And the priest just like pushes him up. And he falls down this staircase, presumably dies. Because it looked like a subway kind of thing. So it was like a long staircase. So it's like, that made me laugh really hard. So he just goes around. He goes around doing shit like that. You know, so that doesn't really seem to be getting the attention of Satan. So he decides, the next thing he does is he goes to this record store, which specializes in like death metal. And this is where he meets Jose. Jose is my favorite character in this. All the characters in this are so good. Like the three guys that kind of team up to try and stop the Antichrist are just like, I love every one of them. And it's just like the interplay between the three of them is just so funny and like so hilarious. But Jose's character is so funny. He's kind of like this big, heavy dude. This actor, he was also in some Guillermo del Toro. I think he was also in Hellboy. He was in, so he's been in like some big movies. I think he was in Pacific Rim. You know, so he was in some big movies like later on. So he's kind of like this big dude with a beard, and he's got like all these facial piercings and all his death metal, like denim jacket and everything like that. So he owns this, you know, this shop. And the priest goes in there with this list of like all these death metal bands, and he's like wanting all this stuff. And he's like, hey, can you play this? Now play it backwards and see if you know what I mean. Now Jose, the record store owner, kind of takes a shine to the priest because he's just like, man, I like your taste. You know, you're pretty cool. And he tries to turn him on to like this local band called Satanica, who are playing at this place called Hell like later on. So there's that kind of whole thing. Now, so they kind of develop a friendship, and it so happens that the priest has, you know, he's come to Madrid and he doesn't really have anywhere to stay. Oh, he stole somebody else's suitcase too. That was another thing that he did. Well, while the guy was out trying to get a cab, like he just took his suitcase and was like, bye. So Jose tells him, he's like, oh, my mom owns this like boarding house type of thing, and it's like, well, why don't you go there if you need a room, and she'll give you a good deal or whatever. So he ends up going there, and that's also kind of like a bunch of characters, because Jose's mom ends up just being this like this battle axe kind of just Harridan type character, and she's like super racist, and she's kind of all this, you know, it's like, yeah, let all these people come in here, and you know, because it's kind of a rough neighborhood, so I'm gonna blow their balls off with a shotgun or whatever. So she's that kind of this Harridan type woman. And then Jose has a grandpa who's like this big fat dude who basically just walks around the house naked all the time, and Jose keeps him on LSD to like keep him chilled out because I guess he has dementia. And then there's this younger woman that works there, named, I think her name is Mina, and she's kind of like, you know, she kind of like the manager, maid, cook type situation. She just takes care of the place, and she's kind of younger, and Jose is kind of like after her, but she's not having it. So he goes there and kind of checks in, and like I said, him and Jose develop this friendship. Jose, of course, because he's all into black metal, he immediately, you know, is like, oh my God, you know, the Antichrist again. Yeah, we got to do something about that. Although he's not super taking it seriously. He's just kind of like, oh, okay, cool. You know, heavy, he's always saying. So he decides like he's going to help the priest out. So, you know, playing the death metal backwards and, you know, pushing mimes off of staircases really hasn't been doing much of anything. So at this point, the priest decides, well, now we need an expert to figure out how to actually sell my soul and like actually summon Satan, so we can figure out like what's going on. Because the kind of clock is ticking, I think, because it's kind of like, the whole story takes place pretty much like over like Christmas Eve, and they have to find where in Madrid the Antichrist is going to be born before dawn, because that's when like the Battle of Armageddon, like the end of the world, is going to start. So you know, like, so it's this takes place like over one night, like over Christmas Eve. So it's very, very Christmassy. Everybody running around, and there's, you know, there's all kind of Christmas shit going on in the streets, like all those Christmas lights and everything. So they decide they need to get an expert. So the expert they get is this cheese dick TV psychic. He has this show called, I think it's called The Dark Zone. And his name is Professor Kavan. And he's just this really, really cheesy. Like, he has like the black mustache and like the black clothes. And he has like this ridiculous necklace, like with this hand on it with all these symbols. And it's like, and it's just hilarious. The dude is like hilarious. And he's obviously a charlatan, but he does this show where it's like, you know, it's like, look at, I did this exorcism and all this other stuff. It's obviously fake. And he even admits, like, later on that he's full of shit. But he's written this book about summoning demons, and it comes, the hilarious thing is, like, it comes in this kit that has the book, and then it has, like, the necklace that he wears. Like, it has one like that, except, like, a cheap version. And it has, like, all these other little magical kind of things. It almost looks like toys or whatever. So he has this popular show. So for whatever reason, the priest thinks, well, he, you know, he has this book, and he steals the guy's book, and he's like, that guy, this guy knows what he's talking about, so we have to, like, get with him and figure out how to summon Satan. So he goes to his house. He's, like, wealthy, so he lives in, like, this really, really nice, like, high-rise apartment. And so they go to his, so he goes to his house, and he doesn't want to cooperate because he's like, look, I'm just doing stupid shit for the rubes. None of this shit is real. It's like, none of it's gonna work. So basically they have to, they essentially end up, like, tying him up and pretty much torturing him, like, just whacking the shit out of him until he agrees to tell them how to do this magical ritual, like, to summon Satan. So it has to do, so that's, like, another kind of farcical kind of situation that they get into because they don't have all the stuff. It's like, you know, consecrated host. They just have, like, some fucking Wonder Bread or something. And, like, the priest is, like, putting the thing, like, the blessing over it. It's like, they don't have, they needed, like, some kind of, like, psychotropic mushrooms or something. He's like, well, I have some tabs of LSD. Will that work? And so they put that all in there. And then it's like, oh, they need the blood of a virgin. So then the priest has to go find, you know, try to get blood from the girl that works at the boarding house. And it's just, like, this wacky, crazy situation of them trying to gather all the things together. Now, at this point, they get in the circle, like, all three of them. I think they're, it's supposed to be, because there's three of them, it's supposed to be kind of like a three wise men type situation, because the priest explains that, well, the Antichrist is going to be born because it's supposed to be, like, the opposite of Jesus being born. So, you know, there's going to be three wise men or three stupid men in this situation, which I guess is what they were going for, even though I don't think they say that out loud, but that was kind of, like, the implication, you know. So it's going to be, like, exactly the same, but inverted. So that's kind of where they're coming from with that. So they do this, the whole ritual, and nothing really happens at first, but then it seems like it worked. In the sense that they're all standing there, and at first you don't think it worked because nothing happens, and then they see kind of this bug crawling across, and they're like, oh, look, the bug couldn't come into the circle, so that must mean something. And, but, you know, but you're still, like, plausible deniability. But then, like, a black goat comes into the apartment, like, with these big fucking things, and, like, stands up and everything. However, it should be noted that when they did the ritual, they took a fuck ton of acid. I mean, that was in, like I said, it was supposed to be, it was the blood of the virgin and the host and all this other stuff. And they didn't have any psychotropic mushrooms, so they just put, like, fucking tabs and tabs of acid in there. So all three of them are tripping balls. So there's a possibility that everything that happens in the third act of the movie is them imagining seeing the devil, like, all the shit that they do. So basically what ends up happening is, like, the three of them, you know, they're struggling to find, so the devil does actually come there, or at least they perceive that, like, in the form of the goat, and they still, like, have to try to figure out. So finally, Professor Kavan thinks that he's figured out where the Antichrist is going to be born, and it's, like, this really convoluted kind of, like, explanation about, you know, the mark of the devil, and, like, there's these two buildings that are the same kind of shape, and it's just, like, this crazy kind of shit. And so I don't really want to spoil the end, because I kind of feel like a lot of people haven't seen this, but I will say that this is, I mean, this movie was delightful. It was just, and I don't know if everybody's gonna find it as funny as I did, but I found it very, very, very funny. It's very satirical. It's definitely making fun of, like, end times predictions, like, you know, in movies like The Omen and stuff like that, you know, people are saying, oh, the Antichrist and all that kind of stuff. It's definitely making fun of that. It's kind of making fun of stereotypes about, you know, people that are into death metal and shit like that. It's definitely making fun of kind of cheesy ass TV psychics who are sort of, like, taking advantage of people's gullibility, I guess. So it's definitely making fun of that. So it's just, like, a funny, you know, and it's making fun of kind of religion, Catholicism, and in general. I don't know. It's not a mean-spirited movie, though. It's actually, like, quite funny. And actually, the friendship, particularly between the priest and Jose, the death metal guy, is actually really kind of sweet. You know what I mean? Like they're just very, very sweet characters. So, I mean, I think that's kind of, like, the heart of the movie, how these three guys, like, come together and form this unlikely friendship because they all start to believe that this is real and this is really going to happen. And, you know, we have to stop the Antichrist. And as I said, I don't necessarily want to spoil the ending, but remember what I said earlier about, like, the gangs that have been roving around Madrid, like, burning homeless people alive and shit like that? That actually does come into play later on in the movie. Now, as I said, the end of it, it's very weird because the end of it was, like, kind of abrupt, and it took me a second before I was just kind of like, wait, what did that mean? But then, like, when I thought about it, and then, like, I read a couple more things, I was like, oh, okay, like, okay, I see what they're getting at. So, it's left ambiguous, I think, whether they actually do, whether the devil is actually real, and they did actually prevent Armageddon from happening, or whether everything after the devil ritual was just them tripping balls, because like I said, they did take a whole bunch of acid. So it could just be that, I'm not saying that they didn't do all of the stuff that they show them doing in the movie, because they do, but I'm saying their perception of it might be a lot different than the sober person's perception of it would be. Let's put it that way. So, but you know, this is a classic, honestly. This is, should be a movie that people watch every Christmas. This is like, I saw one reviewer, they called this like the anti-Christmas movie, which it kind of is. I mean, I know that there's a lot of Christmas horror movies, and a lot of them are just like, oh, you know, evil Santa going on a rampage or something like that. This isn't quite like that, because even though it's Christmas, and the religious aspects of Christmas are being satirized, it's more of a, you know, a riff on The Omen or on these kind of like, you know, end times type of stories. And honestly, the humor in it, I found it very, very funny. I mean, particularly, and like the slapstick violent shit is funny, like him pushing the mime off the thing. The one hilarious fight scene between like him and the and Jose's mom, like at the boarding house, where she like shoots off part of his ear and like, and all of a sudden like chasing her all around. I mean, just, it's hilarious, but it has other funny shit in it too. It's not just all like constant slapstick, but that shit is very funny. And it's done in a way that's not, because normally I don't like that real over-the-top, like, zany, slapsticky kind of humor. So when I say slapstick, I don't mean it's just like wall-to-wall, like, you know, Three Stooges or anything. It's not that crazy, but it's really still funny, though. And there's still, like, a lot of really funny shit going on there that's not that. Just the interactions with the characters and just the absurdity of the entire situation is just so fucking great. And I really feel like more people should see this. More people should see it as a Christmas movie, because it totally is. And it's just, it's so, so good. The version that's on, I watched the version that's on Shudder. As I said, it's on several different streaming services, for free. So, you know, there's no reason for you not to go watch it. It's on Tubi for free. It's everywhere. The only thing I will say, like, it came out in 1995. Some of the special effects, like the green screen effects, like there's a couple scenes, you know, the devil standing up, or there's a couple scenes where they're climbing, where they're tripping balls and they're climbing around the outside of this high rise, like, and try not to fall off, and they're all kind of like, you know, there's all the kind of stuff, so you can see like the edges of the green screen, so it's not fantastic, but you know, a lot of movies that came out in the 90s, like low budget movies, because I think the budget on this was maybe $2 million, something like that. It's maybe not even that much, but other than that, it's not, this isn't a real special effect heavy movie. So in a way, like, the cheap-looking effects, like the green-screen effects, it almost kind of, like, adds to the charm, I want to say, just because the characters are so... And like I said, it's just such a wacky premise that, I mean, you can't help but love it. This is a lovable movie, you know what I mean? That was one thing that I was... I was like, as satirical as this is, as black-hearted as this is, it's still kind of like charming in a weird way, and I'm not really sure how to explain it unless you've seen it, but I would definitely recommend it. It's a really funny Christmas movie that is not like your average Christmas horror movie type of thing. Definitely more of a comedy, but it definitely does have horror elements to it as well. So yeah, definitely check out The Day of the Beast. It's a lot of fun, and I had a really, really good time with it, and I feel like more people should watch it, especially around the holiday season. So that will do it for this Flickers of Fear, and I will see you guys on the next one. Bye.